Okay, today's daf is Shabbat daf Pei Aleph. We are at the bottom of Pei Amud Bet at the two dots V'im Haya Ave. We're talking about a reed that was thick or cracked that couldn't be used for a pen. So, what is the minimum shiur? Tana Terufa B'Shem Netuna B'Ilfas. All right, so we're talking about an egg that was beaten with oil and put in a pan. That is the if the reed could cook that, then it's too big of a reed and you'd be chayav for taking it on Shabbat. Amarle Marbare de Ravina Libere Mi Shemilach Beitzakala Maihi. So Marbare de Ravina asks his son, "Have you heard what a Beitzakala is? What are they referring to when they say a Beitzakala?" So Amarle, he responded, the biata de tzilzala. It's a dove's egg. That's what we're talking about here. That's the easy to cook egg. My time, mishum de zutra. And what's the reason? Because it's small. It's very small. Easy to cook. Ema de tzifarta. Okay, well then how about a hummingbird, right? That's even smaller than a dove. Ishtik. So he was silent. He didn't have a response to that. Amar le, mi de shemiel ach beha. Okay, have you heard anything? Do you know what a beitzakala might be? Amar le, hachi, amar of sheshet, beitzatar negolet. Vamai kawar le beitzakala. Shiuru chachamim, ein lecha beitzakala. Right, we're talking about the egg of a chicken, and why was it called a beitzakala? Because the chachamim assessed that it was the easiest egg to cook, meaning it's not that we're talking about a small egg that would fit on it, but rather an easy to cook egg that this amount of reed could provide the necessary heat in order to fully cook the egg. Right, and so why is it that most shiurim with regard to Shabbat are kugugeret, but here it's like a beitza? Amar le, hachi amar Rav Nachman kugugeret mebeitza kala. Right, so Rav Nachman said that the kugugeret and a beitza kala is actually the same shiur. Okay, new Mishnah. Matnitin etzem kidei laasot tarvan. Rabbi Yehuda omer kidei laasot menu chaf. Right, so a bone, the size that you would need in order to make a spoon, according to Rabbi Yehuda, though, it is in order to make a lock. Zechuchit kidei ligro barosh hakarkar. So enough glass to scrape the strings in a weaver's pick. Tsuror or even kidei lizrok be'ov, a pebble or a stone big enough to throw at a bird, right, if you wanted to get the bird away. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov omer kidei lizrok be'behemah. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, it has to be able to throw at an animal in order to get the animal to move. L'meimer the shiur de Rabbi Yehuda nafish, right? But does that suggest that Rabbi Yehuda's shiur is bigger than the chamim shiur? But I thought Rabbi Yehuda's shiur was more machmer than the chamim shiur. A lock is bigger than a spoon. Hi, kamelan the shiur de Rabbanan nafish. We have a tradition that the Rabbanan shiur is always greater than Rabbi Yehuda's shiur. That they are more makil. Amar ula chafe potachat. We're not talking about the actual lock itself. We're talking about the teeth of the lock, the things that hold it in place. Tano banan chafe potachat tehorin kavan bepotachat temeim. Right. So here's just a little bit of brayta about the teeth of a lock. The teeth of the lock itself are tahor because they don't constitute a proper vessel. However, once you affix them to the lock itself, then they become roi lekabal tuma. They become susceptible to tuma. Vishal gal afal pi shechibar medelet vekavan bemasmerin tehorin. And with regards to the teeth that you would put in a lock of a gate, so even though you've attached them and affixed them tightly to the gate itself, they're still going to be tahor because the gate is attached to the ground, and anything that is attached to the ground is not susceptible to tuma. We don't treat it like a vessel; it's not a kli anymore. It's a part of the property. It's a chuchit k'day ligrorbo. So we said, what's the minimum size of glass? Tana sechuchit k'day liftzoa ba shnei nimin ke'achad. So we're just going to clarify exactly what we meant. What we meant is that you'd be able to cut two of the threads two of the threads that the weaver was using at one time. It has to be large enough to be able to cut two threads at once. So or even they lead rock bit off, and we said that a rock basically big enough to throw at a bird to get it to fly away. Rabbi Lazar says that big enough stone or rock to throw at an animal. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, vehu shemigareshet ba. Right, it has to actually go away. I mean, it has to actually flee when you throw it at it. V'chamashi uro, Tanya, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Omer, mashgal asara zuz. Right, so how big is that exactly? I mean, is there an objective size of a rock that you throw at a bird to get the bird to fly away? Yeah, that is a roughly the size of roughly the weight of 10 zuz. Let's say zonin al lebe midrasha. So a man named Zonin went to the Beit Midrash, Amar Lehu, Rabotai, Avanim Shel Beit Akisei, Shiurin Mechama. And he asked, what size rocks am I allowed to bring to the Beit Akisei? Am I allowed to bring to the bathroom for the sake of wiping myself? Amar Lo, Kazai Te'egos Kebeitza. Right, so they said, three stones, basically. One the size of a zayat, of an olive, one the size of a stone, and one the size of an egg. You have to use three, one after the other in order to properly cleanse yourself. Amar lehu, v'chi tur tani yachnis, and he responded to them, what am I supposed to bring, a scale into there to know exactly the size of each and every stone? Nimnu v'gamru milo hayad, right? And so they, after that kind of exchange, they all concluded, they counted up, you know, the different opinions and all concluded that, that you're just allowed to bring a handful of rocks. That's what you're allowed to bring in, anything that fits in your hand. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Kazayat, Ke'egos, and Chabetza, Rabbi Shum, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Mishum, Aviv, Milo Hayad. Similarly, they had that discussion in the Braita where Rabbi Yossi said, you can bring three rocks the size of an olive, a nut, and an olive. And Mishum, Rabbi Yossi said, in the name of his father, that you can just bring a handful of stones, and that's what you're allowed to bring to the Beit HaKisei. Tanobanan, Shalosh, Avani, Markuzlot, Mutar, Lachnis, Beit HaKisei. You're allowed to bring in three sharp stones into the Beit HaKisei, into the bathroom. The Chamash Yuan, Rabbi Meir Omer Ke'egos, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ke'beitza. So how big are these sharp stones you're allowed to bring in to the bathroom? According to Rabbi Meir, it's the size of a nut, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's the size of an egg. Amar Rav from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chizda, Kimachloket Gan, Kach Machloket Be'etrog. So the machloket that you're having here, the machloket that we just mentioned regarding the size of the stones that can be brought in, whether it's the size of a nut or the size of an egg, that's the same machloket actually that they were having with a minimum size of an etrog, whether it's the size of a nut or the size of an egg. Hata Matniti in Hacha Baraita. Well, that's so odd that you're using a Baraita in order to shed light on a Mishnah, right? The Mishnah was a very well known, very popular teaching. Everyone knows these. These are the ones that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi decided were the objective, most universally agreed upon teachings that there were. And you want to try to give me information about the shed light on the Mishnah so I understand it better by bringing a raya from a Braita? That doesn't make any sense. No one knows about the Braita, so they're much less known, much less popular. Ela k'machloket be'etrog kach machloket kan. Rather, what he meant to say is the machloket by etrog is similar, is the same machloket happening here. So you know that machloket we had by etrog, same machloket here, right? So really, he's using the machloket by etrog to shed a light on our machloket here in the Braita about the stones you're allowed to bring into the bathroom on Shabbat. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, aval lo et ha pais. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you may not take in the pais. Okay, what's pais? My pais. Amar Rabbi Zeira, karshinan bavlaita. Right? Those are Babylonian pebbles. Babylonian pebbles aren't actually pebbles. They're just clumps of earth that was particular to the Babylonian soil. That it would always clump together. However, I mean, it was not particular to the Babylonian soil. Really, any clumps of dirt that looks like rocks that you smush them, you realize they're not actually rocks. They're just clumps of dirt, and it was called Babylonian because this is very popular, very common that happened with the Babylonian soil. All right, so you're not allowed to bring those in. Amar Rava, asul mashmesh mitzor b'Shabbat, kideh shemashmesh b'chol. You're not allowed to use a rock on Shabbat to cleanse yourself the way that you use it on a weekday. Matkifla marzutra listakin. Okay, should you then, should you endanger yourself? Should you endanger yourself by not wiping yourself? I mean, it's not good practice, not healthy practice, not to wipe yourself. What are you supposed to do on Shabbat if you're not allowed to wipe yourself with the stones? No, you're allowed to wipe yourself. You just have to do it in a different manner. You have to go about it in a different way than you would normally do it. You have to make do what's called kila achar yad, not carry it in the normal fashion. Amar b'yanai im yesh makom kavua lebet kise milo hayad v'im lav kehechra. Right. So according to Rabbi Yanai, it says if you have a set place for the bathroom, then you can bring in a handful of stones. However, if you do not have a set place for the bathroom and you're just going wherever you are, then you have to go with the middle shita, basically the size of a nut. You can't carry a stone bigger, larger than the size of a nut, which is not quite the size of a nut. It's not quite the size of a beitza, but it is bigger than the size of an olive. Meducha ktana shel besamim. So what about using a mortar, right? A small mortar that they would use to crush spices. Could you use that in the bathroom? Amar Rav Sheshet, im yesh aleha a'ed mutar. Right? If there's testimony upon it, meaning if it is clear to you this has been used in the past and designated for such a purpose and is not going to then actually be used for crushing up spices, and you're just you're carrying it out pretending to use it for one purpose and you're going to use it for another purpose, meaning if it's clear to you that you're using this to go to the bathroom because it has remnants from the last time you went to the bathroom, then that's allowed. But didn't we teach in a Braita there are 10 things that brings a person to tachtoniot, right? So tachtoniot I've seen translated as hemorrhoids, but it's some sort of illness or sickness or abnormality regarding the regarding below the belt. So these are the 10 things that you would do to make yourself ill down there. Ha'ochel alei kanim, right? Someone who if you eat reeds, the leaves of reeds, ve'alei gfanim, or grape leaves, ve'lulavei gfanim, or shoots of the grapevines, morige behema below melach, right? So the rough parts of animals that haven't been properly salted to smooth them down, ve'shidro shel dag. or the spine of a fish, v'dag maliach shelo bishel kol tzorko, or a non-fully cooked salty fish, v'ashot eshomrei yain, or if you drink the preservatives of wine, v'mekaneach v'sid v'charasit, or if you wipe yourself with lime or pottery, v'mekaneach v'tzoro shkinech v'chovero, or if you wipe yourself with the same same rock that your friend used, and that's going to be the relevant teaching. The eshomrim, and there are those who say avatul atzmo v'rekise, even someone who doesn't sit properly when he goes to the bathroom, rather he crouches, right? So we see from there that the Chachamim warned you against using something that your friend used, as it can lead you to illness. But here we said that that you'd be allowed to use the mortar if it was testimony upon it, meaning if it was clear that it was already used versus by someone in the bathroom. But so how are we supposed to relate to that practice? Are we allowed to use something that our friend used before or not? Lokasha, that's not difficult. Ha belach v'habiyavish, meaning one is when it was still moist from the previous use, and one when it already dried. You might aim. Alternatively, you can say as follows: kan mitzad echad, kan mitzad mishnei tzadim. Right, one when it was used from one side or used from both sides. Right, that's another differentiation. V'ibayit ema hadidei hadachavre. Right, and the last potential resolution is one that was used by himself just earlier, and one that was used by his friend. That would be the distinction. Amarle abaye lirav Yosef yardu ale gishamim. Mahu. Okay, so we said that they need to have, it needs to be clear that it was used in the past. But what if it was rained upon? Mahu. So when the markings were kind of erased from their previous use, are you still allowed to use it? Amarle imaya rishuman nikar mutar. Right, if you could tell that it was at one point used, you're allowed to use it. Ba'mine rabba bar rav shila me rav chizda. So rav shila asked rav chizda, mahu la'alotam acharav le'gag. Is someone allowed to bring the stones up on the roof? In order to use up there, Amar le gadol kavod abriot shidoche et lota se shibatora. Right, so someone kavod abriot is so significant that in some cases it can even be doche a lota se in the Torah. Meaning, yes, you're allowed to bring them up onto the roof because it would be disgusting for a person. It's not proper kavod for a person to have to walk around without the. Walk around without having wiped himself after going to the bathroom, so it would be allowed. Yativ Maremar, Vekamar La Laha Shamata Etive Ravina Le Maremar. So Maremar sat and told over what we just said, and then Ravina asked the following Shaila. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Notel Adam Kesa Mishalfanov Lachatzat Bo Shinav. A person is allowed to take a small piece of wood from the wood in front of him in order to clean his teeth. The Chachamim say you can't take from there. You can only take from the wood lying around an animal pen, right? Because the wood around an animal pen was designated for use, whereas the wood in front of you is not designated for use. So if you're not allowed to take from the wood in front of you, then clearly you're not allowed to just if you're not allowed to take from the wood in front of you, then clearly we're not just doche the concept of muktzah whenever a person needs it in order to clean himself, right? So this is a challenge, so we said earlier, where you'd be allowed to take up the rocks, even though they might be muktzah, because of kavod abriot. Here we're saying that you're not allowed to just take anything that you need in order to clean yourself for kavod abriot. Hachi hashta, hatam, adam koveh makom lese'uda. Hacha, adam koveh makom leverkise. Right? That's different. There, a person sets an established place where he's going to have his meal, in which case, it would be the responsible thing to put toothpicks there in advance, so you knowing that you need to clean yourself. But you don't always have a set place for the bathroom. You go where you need to go. In which case, we allow him to in that situation to use what he has in front of him. But we did not make the same allowance around toothpicks wherever you find a toothpick, because there you could have planned in advance. Amar Rav Huna Asur Lifnot Misde Nir B'Shabbat. You can't go to the bathroom in a fresh field on Shabbat, right? A field that was just plowed. My time, Ilayim Mishum Devasha. Right? If you want to say that you're not allowed to go on there because you'd be walking on your friend's field and ruining it, okay, you're not allowed to do that on a weekday either. You're not allowed to ruin your friend's field. And if you mean because there are stones in the field that have grass upon them, and we're afraid they're going to use one of those stones to clean yourself and pull up some of the grass that was growing on the stone, didn't Reish Lakish teach that you're allowed to use those stones? You're allowed to use the stones that have grass on them on Shabbat. You're just not allowed allowed to uproot the grass. Ella, meaning we still don't have a reason why you wouldn't be allowed to. I mean, we do have a reason why you wouldn't be allowed to in order to walk on your friend's field. That is not specific to Shabbat. On a weekday, you also wouldn't be allowed to. And if you mean because we don't want you to wipe yourself with a rock that has grass growing out of it, well, you're allowed to according to Reish Lakish. Ella, Dilma Nakit Ma'ale Vishad Latate. Rather, we're afraid that you're going to pick something up to wipe yourself and from one area and throw it into a different area. And then even out the ground, because you're going to throw it into a place that has a little bit of a hole or a little bit of crack in the ground, and then you evened it out. Mechayev mishum de Rabba, and then mechayev according to Rabba's shita. The Amar Rabba haita loguma vitimama bebayit chayev mishum bone besadu chayev mishum dar choresh. Because Rabba thought that if you have a hole in your home and you fill it in, so in your house you're chayev because of building for evening out the floor is a part of building, and if you're in the field you're chayev for plowing. So picking up something and moving it to a different place and evening out the field, filling in a hole, that's going to be chayev, and that's what we're concerned with, and that's why you're not. Let's go to the bathroom in a fresh plowed field on Shabbat. Gufa, Amar Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish, we brought in his statement earlier about using the rock that had grass on it, and now we're going to examine his shita because we're going to be able to learn something from it. Tzror she'alu ba'asavim mutar ganechba v'tolish shemenu b'Shabbat chayv chatat. Right. So a rock that had grass grow upon it, you're allowed to wipe with it, but if you intentionally detach the grass, then you're going to be chayv chatat. Amar Rav Papi shemamina mid Reish Lakish. So we can understand from Reish Lakish that you're allowed to pick up a flower pot on Shabbat. Meaning, if you have a flower pot and there's a hole in the bottom and it is resting on the ground, you'd be allowed to pick that up because that's not considered disconnecting the grass from the ground. Just like you're allowed to pick up this rock and use it, even though the rock has grass growing on it, you're allowed to pick it up off the ground. Matki flower Rav Kana im amru l'tzarech yomer shelo l'tzarech. But Rav Kana challenged that assumption, meaning we allowed a person to do that when he needs to go to the bathroom, and we've clearly established that we are more making the situations where a person needs to clean himself mishum kavod briyot. So just because Reish Lakish said in a situation that's absolutely necessary you're allowed to do so, you're going to establish a principle that you're always allowed to do a similar thing, like pick up a flower pot with a hole on it where the flower is deriving sustenance from the ground itself. That's like disconnecting something. Maybe it's not exactly like disconnecting the grass, but it's not going to be mutter for absolutely no reason. Amar Abaye parpisa hoil va'ata liyadan lema be milta. So Abaye said, well, since we're already talking about this flower pot, let me teach you a little something about this case. Hayat munach agabe karka v'hnicho agabe itadot chayv michayv mishum tolesh. Right. So if it was on the ground and you put it up onto pegs on Shabbat, that's your chayv for tolesh. Right. You disconnected the pot from the ground, even though it wasn't really deeply, it wasn't rooted into the ground because it was perforated. It was dry, it had nutrients from the ground, and that is tantamount to tolesh, detaching the plant from the ground. Hayat munach similarly, if it was on pegs and you put it on the ground, then that's chai for planting, because now you're giving the pot the opportunity to get nutrients from the ground. So Rabbi Yochanan taught another teaching regarding cleaning yourself on Shabbat after the bathroom. He says you can't use a piece of pottery, right? My time, if you want to say that Rabbi Yochanan taught this teaching because it's dangerous to use a sharp piece of pottery to clean yourself, okay, during the weekday it's also prohibited for that reason. And if you want to say that's because of witchcraft, we're going to talk about what exactly that means. Not that we're going to fully understand it, but we're going to go into a little bit more depth about it. Afilu b'chol namilo. So also during the weekday, you shouldn't clean yourself with pottery because of witchcraft. Ve'elam mishum asharet nimin. Rather, you want to say it's because you're going to come to cut off some of your hairs. Devar she'en mitkaven hu. Right, but that's, you didn't intend to do so. So seemingly that should be mutter. Amar lehu Rav Natan bar Oshia gavra rabba amar milta neima ba tama. So Rav Oshia says, listen, a great man such as Rabbi Yochanan said something, and you're not even going to try to bring it. You're going to try to bring in something in his defense. You got to at least try to defend his sheep. A little bit, right? He wouldn't be saying something stam. It's our duty to assume that there was something behind his words there. Rather, let's try to answer up for him. Lo mi baye bechol de aser aval b'shabbat hoil ve'ika torat kli alav shapir dami. Right. So shapir dami. So maybe you would have said that on a weekday you would not be allowed to use this because it is dangerous. However, on Shabbat, you have to decide between using a rock, which is mukta, and using a piece of pottery, which may be a part of a kli. Now, a kli is mutter to pick up on Shabbat if it's a proper vessel, or even the broken piece of a proper vessel. vessel potentially that has use for some other purpose on Shabbat, then it's not going to be muktzah. So even though you may have thought, well, on a weekday, you wouldn't want me to use the sharp rock because it's dangerous. But on Shabbat, if I had to choose between using, on a weekday, you wouldn't want me using this sharp pottery because it's dangerous. But in Shabbat, if I have to choose between using something muktzah, like a rock, or using the sharp pottery, which is dangerous, so maybe you want to say that on Shabbat, I should use the pottery instead, so as not to pick up something muktzah. Kamash Malan, that's what Rabbi Yochanan taught us, that even on Shabbat, you shouldn't be using this pottery, and don't give me the Havamina. You can't assume like the Havamina that I'd rather use pottery than a sharp rock. Better use the muktzah thing and not endanger yourself. Rava Matnila Mishum Hasharet Nimin. So Rava actually taught Rabbi Yochanan Shita and explained in accordance with the Shita that, or in accordance with the Svara, that the problem was you're going to cut off some of your hairs. Because later Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan. And then we posed the difficulty from Rabbi Yochanan Shita to Rabbi Yochanan Shita elsewhere. Mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Asur L'Kanecha B'Cheres HaShabbat. Could Rabbi Yochanan have really said that you're not allowed to wipe yourself with pottery on Shabbat? Am davar shenem mitkaven aser, because that would imply that a davar shenem mitkaven, an unintentional action, would be aser, right? But if you did something fully intending for something else to happen, and it was not guaranteed that the malacha would happen, and then it happened, that's called a davar shenem mitkaven. You're allowed to do that if it's not certain that the malacha is going to happen in the process. V'hama Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'stam mishnah, but didn't Rabbi Yochanan also say that the halacha is like the stam mishnah, meaning that we paskin as follows? Utnan, and what are we paskin in that stam mishnah that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Nazir Chofef and Fasfes, right? A Nazir who's not allowed to cut his hair is still allowed to he's still allowed to rub his head and he's still allowed to try to untangle his hair of a losarik, but he shouldn't comb it because that's definite that it's gonna pull out hair, right? However, he's allowed to rub his hair and he's allowed to untangle it. Why would that be the case? Because he doesn't intend to pull out the hair and it's not definite that it's gonna happen, and that's a Rabbi Yochanan paskind. In which case, Rabbi Yochanan holds that davshenu mitzkaven, something you don't intend on happening, as long as it's not definitely going to happen, that should be mutter. In which case, why would Rabbi Yochanan stop you from wiping with pottery just because it might detach some of the hair if he generally holds davar shenem mitzkaven is mutter, and this davar shenem mitzkaven, you don't mean to detach the hair, maybe it's going to happen, maybe it's not going to happen. Ela mechurta k'dor Rav Nachman bar Oshias. Rather, we have to conclude that Rav is teaching, he should actually have followed Rabbi Oshias' shita, that the reason that Rabbi Yochanan taught this was not because he was concerned that you're going to pull out some hair with the pottery. Rather, he taught it this way because you had a havamina that you'd rather use the pottery than the rock on Shabbat, but you should still use the rock. Ma'ik safim. So what exactly is this concern that we have for witchcraft by using the pottery for wiping yourself? Right. So these two rabbanim were going on a boat. Amralu ha'i matronita otvan ba'adaychu v'lo otve. Right. So a woman asked, you know, can I come on the boat with you? And they didn't let her come on. Amra ihi milta. So she said some words of witchcraft. She said a spell, asar tala arba, and the boat was not able to move. Amro inhu milta, and then the chachamim responded with a certain spell of their own. Amro lehu my avid lehu, and she said, what am I supposed to do to you now that you said a spell of your own and let the boat go free? How am I supposed to respond? Dilo mekanech lehu b'chasfa, vilo kati lehu kina amenaychu, vilo shalif lehu yarka ve'achil lehu mekisha da aser gina. Right, because you don't wipe with pottery, and you don't kill lice on your clothing, and you don't remove a single vegetable from a bundle of vegetables that was just tied up, so I really can't touch you. Apparently we see from that story that had they done one of those three things, they would be more susceptible to witchcraft, and that's why we say not to do it, and not just on Shabbat, but on a weekday either. So I said that we're not going to fully understand what exactly that means, but we still will understand a little bit in terms of why we believe that makes you extra susceptible to witchcraft because of this story.